St. Matthew's. Today is an important day. This is the first time officially that we go it alone. And it's a cause for rejoicing, because the scripture says that we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ with the whole body, world, universal. But we also are the body of Christ in St. Matthew's. Paul makes it quite clear that wherever God's people meet as a church, as we are this morning, they are the body of Christ. We are members one of another. And each member has his role to play. And so, the text I'm taking is the second reading. It's that wonderful part where the apostle remembers that what we're all doing is running the same race. Surrounded by a whole cloud of witnesses, we are to take courage and to run the race that is set before us. More about those witnesses a little later on. But what is this that God has called us to do here in St. Matthew's? We are all members one of another, and we are to run the race that is set before us. Well, when you run a race, I remember, I think, vaguely what it was like. I remember as a schoolboy running in the sprints a little bit, and it was clear what you had to do there. And I remember once, because I was captain of the house, I thought I'd better enter absolutely everything to get as many points as I can for the house. So I entered the 880 yards. 880 yards didn't sound much. And I made a rather bad mistake of having quite a hefty lunch before the school sports. Well, I paced myself a little, and the first 440 went very well indeed, I must say. I was doing okay, and then I lost my legs, and I staggered over the finishing line. I finished the race. I was nowhere near winning any kind of prize. The race that we are asked to run, however, isn't a race against competitors. We're not asked to race against one another. We are all called to run the same race for the same objective, and that's not about beating each other at all. It's about running together in the race of our life. It's like running to win the absolute prize. We do it individually, but we do it as a body. Now today, this is the body of Christ. We're not all here. Some are bed pushing in the hospital today. Others are away on holiday. But we represent all of those who are in St. Matthew's as the body of Christ. And God has planted in this body, as we read in the scripture, various members that cannot do without each other. Indeed, apart from the appendix, and Jim may help me on this, I think we have discovered a role for pretty well every single part of the human body, including those that we cannot see with the naked eye. Some of those are the most powerful parts, the genes, for example, which determine so much about how we are and who we are and what we are and how we will live and how we will die. Every part of the body has a role, except, as far as I could remember as a schoolboy, the appendix. And I was told that used to have a role, but we're not quite sure now what it was, but it certainly does have a role when you get appendicitis. We know that. It's the focus of everything. But let's think hard about what it means to run a race as a body in St. Matthew's. We are really the body of Christ here. We're not just a little bit part of it. Oh, well, we are part of the universal church. But God has given to this body all of those gifts that are needed for ministry and for spreading God's kingdom in Dunedin. The hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. And the eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you. We all need each other. And what's important is, God hasn't chosen some of us to have ministries in the church. We are all members of the church, and all of us have our role to play in the life of the body. Oh, God has given apostles, God has given prophets, God has given teachers, God has given healers, and you know the whole list of the gifts that God has given to his church. God has given us these gifts in order for us to live the life of Christ upon earth and to spread his kingdom. But which gift are you? Which gift are you to the church? God has given us teachers, and he's given us healers, and he's given us helps, and he's given us governors or administrators. All of these are various roles that have to be played for an individual church to live and prosper. And we have them all. Now, we might not have discovered them. We might not know who they are. We might not even be absolutely clear about what our calling and our role is in this body. But we have one. Not one of us is dispensable. The eye can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. Yes, there's the lesson. All of us have a calling in this body and a role to play. So at the beginning of every race that I ran in, the shorter distances, there were three calls made by the referee. Take your marks. Get set. Go. Take your marks. Let's start at the beginning. That was the most nervous time of all. You've been working up to this event. You don't want to make a fool of yourself, and you don't want to just fall over, but you take your mark in the lane that you're running. Now, it's not your business what the other people are doing in the other lanes. It is your business to run in this lane, to know what your course is. It's been chosen for you. And until we are confident about knowing what race we are running and what lane we are running in, we cannot fulfill God's purposes for us. It may be that you are to be a teacher. It may be that you are to be in administration. It may be that you are a help. What is a help? God has given helps to every one of his bodies. Well, you name it. There are all sorts of people who need help at all sorts of times and for all sorts of reasons. But being a help is a ministry. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to have the power to work miracles. Some are called as helps. In fact, you might think helps would be totally unnoticed. They're the ones who work quietly in the background. They are sensitive to the needs of others. And they go out of their way to help meet the needs of others. They support one another. But they're not all forgotten. Paul writes to the Roman church, for example, and he thanks Urbane. for his help. Have you ever heard of him before? It's an English word for a sophisticated person, but it was the name of someone in that church who was helping other members. And Paul remembers him forever in the Christian faith. Perhaps you'd never heard of Urbane before. Had you noticed that Urbane's name was in the New Testament? No, it's one of those things you read over. He was an ordinary chap, obviously. He didn't stand out. He's not remembered as some of the great names in the church. But he was remembered by Paul, and he's remembered by the Lord because his role was to be a help. There for the support of others, for the care of others, loving others, standing beside others, a help. And you may feel, well, that could be my ministry. We've got a lot of ministries to discover in St. Mark's. We've lost a lot of them today, from today. They're not with us. They're not members of this body of Christ, and we miss them dearly. We know what kind of assistance, what kind of ministry, what kind of blessing they were able to confer on us. But they are doing that now elsewhere. But here in St. Matthew's, these are the gifts of God to his church. And some of us are going for the first time to have to recognize what kind of gift we are to the church, which lane we are running in the race. And we have to wait upon that ministry and develop that ministry. We have, I believe, a very healthy group of people from all sorts of backgrounds that God is ready and able to use as his gifts to the body here. We have large numbers of people, believe it or not, in every area of education, from kindergarten right through senior positions in universities. Yes, we've got plenty of people like that. I say plenty, could count them now perhaps on the fingers of two hands, but you'd be surprised how much talent there is. We've got people here in business, some of them in very successful business in our group, some with great responsibilities of administration in that business. These are gifts, these are talents that are needed in the church. Churches like this don't run themselves. They have to be governed. And God has, believe me, given St. Matthew's these gifts, for we are a body of Christ. These he will be faithful to provide with all the ministries that are needed. So some of you will find your mark in that area, and that is where you are ready to run your race, this race of life to which God has called us all. And then there are others here, many others, who have had babies and children and teenagers, who have brought up families. Don't tell me that doesn't involve necessary skills. Don't tell me that doesn't call for great patience and long suffering and the ability to share and give and love. And there may be some in our church, indeed I know there are some in our church, for whom that will be a major ministry. Oh, it might not be visible. But to be loved by someone and cared for by someone who keeps an eye out for your welfare, especially when you become older or you become frail or you are left alone. There are ministries here in the church. It's God's body. And these are those who are sent to stand by us. We've many who have trodden that path and who have a rich, rich offering for the church as a whole. And I could go on. We could name all those with skills. skills which they have, some of them for many years, occupied, skills of building all sorts of things. They're needed here. Indeed, we're looking for some now. We have a leader, but he needs members of his team, people with skills which you might think have got nothing to do with the kingdom of God, but which are required for this church of God here in St. Matthew's to prosper and live its life. So you name it, you'll find your lane in the race. Maybe you know you're capable of these things, but you've never thought of using them for the body of Christ. This is your calling. This is your gifting. And we're not going to fall short, because God is going to provide the whole body for this church. So the first thing we have to concentrate on as we move forward from today is this. What is my ministry in St. Matthew's? What should I be concentrating upon, praying about, giving my time and energy to, that I'm especially cut out to do? Because whoever you are, you've got something unique to offer to this body as we grow in the future and as we spread the kingdom of God. Get to your marks. This is the race that we have been called to run. And to know it, to know where we are to run, is the beginning. And this is God's calling to us. So that's recognizing what ministries we have got to fulfill, which will not be forgotten by the Lord. From helps of whatever kind they are, through to demanding and sophisticated roles, whatever they are. We need them all. And we have them all. God will not have let us down. And each of us must be careful to get to our marks in this race, to identify what gifts we have to offer, and to be generous with them, sacrificial with them, so that this body of Christ will prosper. So today, I'm not speaking as your encourager, as I did a couple of weeks ago. I'm speaking as your trainer. Successful athletes have trainers, and they look and they tell them how to do this and how to do that and how to do the other, what not to do, what not to eat, when to eat, when not to eat, how far to run. And these are the kinds of instructions that the Lord's laid on my heart to lay to you today. We're all now, as St. Matthew's, as a body of Christ, running the race of our life, this race that God has called us to. And every single one of us has a particular lane in which we must run, for which God has equipped us, and which this body desperately needs. So, get set. We're in the lane. We're nervously now standing at the beginning of the race. We're waiting for the gun to go, and then what? Well, the next thing, having taken our marks, we get ready. Now, that's the worst part. When I got ready on the stocks, my fingers were right on the starting line. They weren't allowed to be over it. That would be cheating. And I'd be a fool to be behind it, because I'd be giving away some distance to the people who were running next to me. So my fingers would be there on the starting line. I'd be crouched, ready to go, ready to kick off at the fastest possible speed in order to accelerate into the race itself. Now then, what are we to be doing? Get set. Get set for running this lane in your life for Christ in this body. Work on it. Paul tells us to do this. If your gift is this, then concentrate on this. Work on it, whatever it happens to be. Don't be working on what other people should be doing. What you have been given to do is what you must work at. You must practice. You must concentrate. You must refine. You must put energy into it. Get ready for this role that God has cut out for you in this body of Christ. Because maybe if you don't fulfill it, there is nobody else who could. You have a peculiar history, a peculiar background, and like anybody else's here, you've had experiences that others have not had, and these are rich food for your fitness to be running the race that God has called you to. Now, I'm not saying we should all run in different directions. No, the eye cannot do without the foot, remember. They're all working in the same body, but they all must work to maximum capacity separately in order for them to work together at all. None of us are passengers. None of us are in this body of Christ as spectators. We're here to be doing our bit, to be putting our shoulders to the wheel. We are to be running our race, but it's in tandem with the race of the whole body. So, get set, on your marks, get ready, go. Now go. How do we go? Well, Paul gives us every encouragement. You say, it's all right for you to talk like this. You don't know what a failure I've been. You don't know how unfaithful I've been. You don't know how weak my faith has been from time to time. You don't know how A, B, and C have upset me and got in my way. And they've made obstacles for me, which I find it hard to get over. Look, we've all got this kind of baggage. Let's be honest with each other. All of us have suffered these things. But there is place for encouragement. We might have failed in our faith. We might have failed in our sacrifice. We might have failed in doing those things which we are best fitted to do that nobody else has been able to do in the body of Christ. But look, one thing you must remember if you're going to run this race is this. Don't look behind. Don't look backwards. I want you to try an experiment after this service, or you can do it in private, otherwise it may be embarrassing. Try running when you're looking backwards. Have you ever tried it? Just try running when you're looking backwards. Will you run in a straight line if you run at all? No, you won't. You'll wander all over the place. You'll get nowhere. You'll achieve nothing. It was like my dog this morning. I took Dougal for a walk, and I got home. I said to Anna, I don't know what's got into him this morning. All the time I was trying to walk with him, he wanted to look back. It was another dog, or it was more people he wanted to make a fuss of him. All the way, he seemed to look backwards all the time, and it made progress almost impossible. And that's what's going to happen to every one of us if we concentrate on our weaknesses and our failures and the mistakes we've made. No, don't look back. Look forward. And listen to what? At last I'm getting to my text and I've nearly come to the end of my sermon. That wonderful text that Paul says this. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, those hindrances, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the cross. Who is that crowd of supporters that we can hear? I tell you one thing that really did encourage me when I thought my legs were about to fall off and I was about to fall on the track was the cries from the grandstand from the members of my house. Come on, come on, come on. That was an inspiration. We have a grandstand of people about us. This is what the apostle says there when he writes, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, spectators. And who are these spectators? Well, you read the rest of the chapter and you'll read their names and you'll recognize them. Abraham, Jacob. You go through all the great fathers of the faith, and they're all named there, and they are in the spectator stand, watching us run our race. Their race is finished, but we are listening to their cries of support. Abraham, of all of them, the father of the faith, whom God chose to leave his land to become a wonderful people, greater than the numbers of the sand of the sea, to become a hugely wealthy and powerful man, but a man near to the heart of God. Abraham, you will bring forth from your loins a new nation. By the time he was 100, he didn't have any children. And he began to wonder whether that was a promise that was true. And then you remember his wife Sarah, who was also really very old, became pregnant and had their child. But before that, Abram had made a few pretty bad mistakes. Yes, he took God at his word. And yes, he knew that Sarah was the only possible vehicle through which God could possibly fulfill his promises, which were amazing promises, but they depended upon Sarah. And she was, it seemed, barren. Oh, he tried to do it on his own. Yes, he took one of the handmaids and made her his wife and tried to get out of it that way, but that was not God's way. And what he has done is the favor of producing for us the whole of the Muslim population of the world. No, his way was through Sarah. That was the only way. And he knew it. But on one occasion, when he went down into Egypt with his family, he was afraid for his safety, so he offered Sarah, his wife, to the king, not telling the king that she was his wife. He was willing to sacrifice all the possibilities of God's will being done in his life out of fear. And when the king discovered that it was his wife, he was furious. And he restored her to Abram and he went off. And would you believe he did it again? Twice he did that. And then at last, Sarah gave birth and God's kingdom was possible. So we are running this race, and we're running against the odds. We've got all sorts of problems and challenges, and we hear the voice of Jacob from the grandstand saying, look, you think you've made mistakes. What about me? And look what God did for me. Keep running for the prize. That should be an inspiration, but it's not as if he's alone. There are many others there. Read them for yourselves, and you will know in the lives of all of them there were major failures. But they fulfilled God's purposes. We are not perfect, but we will be made perfect. And today we are called to run the race that is set before us. Today is, in a sense, the first Sunday that this body of Christ meets as the body of Christ, St. Matthew's, for the future. This is only the beginning. What have we got to do to run this race? We've got to get to our marks. The first thing we've got to do is to really wait upon the Lord and discover what role God wants us to play in St. Matthew's. There is a part for us to play that nobody else is fitted to play. Because of our life's experiences, because of the skills, or because of our personality, we have got some work to do here that no one else here can do. That's true of all of us. And we've got to find out just what it is and wait upon that ministry. We've got to get to our marks. We've got to be ready to go. Whatever our ministry is, let us wait on that ministry. Let us hone it down. Let us perfect it. Let us get fit so that we can run at our best. That's what God's calling us to do. And then, here's my message to St. Matthew's on this very significant day, which I have found difficult to approach, and I'm excited that we are there. God's command to us all is, go. And I'm sure he's going with us.